Greetings, and welcome to the Continental Drift. I'm Andy Valver. So, a good week in the EU, Donald Tusk became the Prime Minister of Poland again. He took office after the Law and Justice Party couldn't get enough votes to form a government. They're the conservatives that have been running things for the last several years and taking Poland in a very illiberal direction. So the liberals are back in charge, and the Poles are heaving a sigh of relief. Well, most of them. Of course, the president is still the Law and Order Party guy and can veto legislation. And a lot of the judicial system is also law and justice, so getting anything accomplished will be interesting. Anyway, after Donald Tusk took to the podium and spoke, according to the New York Times, the head of the Law and Justice Party who lost, Jarosław Kaczyński, got up and said from the podium, "I don't know who your grandfathers were, but I know one thing, you are a German agent, just a German agent." And in Poland, calling someone a German, well, if you know your history, man, can you say sore loser? You see, that's the hallmark of right-wing conservatives. And if you need more proof of how nasty the right-wing can be, the New York Times continued and said, "As Parliament on Tuesday debated whether to endorse a cabinet proposed by Mr. Tusk, one of his most strident critics, the far-right legislator Grzegorz Braun, used a fire extinguisher to put out Hanukkah candles during an event with members of the Jewish community." Nice. And speaking of the hard right, Hungary's Viktor Orbán was the wet blanket in Brussels the other day when he vetoed giving Ukraine 50 billion euros in aid. You know how Brussels rewarded him? They gave him $10 billion. I don't understand these things. You see, it takes a unanimous decision by all the heads of the EU countries to give aid to Ukraine, and Orbán said no. I'm telling you, Putin's got a file on him. In France, meanwhile, President Emmanuel Macron lost a big vote in the French Parliament. The lower house voted to reject Macron's big immigration bill without even debating it. It's seen as a big loss for Macron. His interior minister offered his resignation, but Macron rejected it. According to the website France 24, the bill aims to speed up asylum application procedures and regularize the status of undocumented workers in sectors with labor shortages, but also to facilitate the expulsion of foreigners deemed dangerous. At a rally for the bill, Sophie Binet, head of the hard-left CGT union, denounced the hypocrisy of regularizations, saying, quote, "France could not function without undocumented workers in kitchens, cleaning, and construction," close quote. Gee, that sounds a lot like the U.S. And speaking of immigration, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has problems of his own regarding immigration. Apparently, they have a plan to ship immigrants to Rwanda. Why? I don't know. Maybe they picked Rwanda out of a hat. Anyway, regardless of where they come from, that's where the immigrants go. And to that end, they have already spent £240 million on Rwanda, but haven't sent a single migrant there. Somebody is making money somewhere. If you recall, in the last podcast, I talked about migrants and what a problem it was for Europe, and I proposed creating a Marshall Plan for Africa, to make Africa a better place to live so that people would stay there. After all, no one really wants to leave their homeland, right? So, where do we start? Well, the only way the Northern Hemisphere is going to the aid of Africa is if there's money to be made. That means we need an international institution to step up. And I'm not talking about the United Nations. Yes, they've got a few good programs, but mostly they make pronouncements and then go to lunch. No, what we need is a really international organization that everyone loves and has things that people want. Yes, I'm talking about IKEA. Here's a fun fact. Outside of South Africa and Egypt, which don't really count as Africa, there are no IKEA stores in Africa. Zero. That little fact right there will explain a lot. So I ask you, how is Africa supposed to build itself without IKEA? Exactly, they can't. Come on, everyone knows that you can't furnish a home without IKEA. I know, you're going to say, well, people need money to buy things at IKEA, and there's no money in Africa. or jobs. Well, if you build IKEAs, you're going to need staff. Right away, you got people with paychecks who can buy stuff. And to get the stuff there, you need delivery trucks and drivers. Bingo, more jobs. And how are people going to get to the IKEA stores? Right, cars, buses. And what are those people going to buy at IKEA? What everyone else wants, a new kitchen. I know what you're thinking, that the environmental cost of a new kitchen for everyone in Africa will be catastrophic. Well, perhaps, but just for a change, don't you think Africans should have a chance to decimate their own forests instead of it being done by Chinese, Europeans, and North Americans? And let's not forget the food. First of all, the cafeterias in IKEA are terrific. And let's not forget the 1 euro hot dog. Who knows what's in it, but who cares? And if it's 1 euro here in the EU, it's got to be cheaper in Africa. And who doesn't like Swedish meatballs? Not only do you solve the furniture problem, you solve the hunger problem. They'll probably win an award or something. Hell, being Swedish, they have an inside track on the Nobel Prize. More on this in coming weeks. The Russian capital, Moscow, has been buried by unprecedented snowfall. Meteorologists said it was the most intense snowstorm to hit Moscow in 6 decades. Muscovites just said, it's December. And finally, this year's European Union Happiness Index was released the other day. Basically, it's a list of the happiest and least happiest nations in the EU. It's based on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the absolute happiest. Austria, Poland, and Romania took the top 3 spots on the list. Poland, pretty obvious, they just got back a new liberal government. Austria, because they're leaning farther right and the Austrians love everything about the right. And Romania is just happy to be part of the EU. Surprisingly, Germany is second from the bottom on the list, with Bulgaria coming in last. Germany being on the bottom is interesting because they have one of the strongest economies in Europe. But according to the Euronews website, the German Rheingold Institute, based in Cologne, published a study last week that found that 20% of Germans were overwhelmed by anxiety, and a further 9% were classified as uninterested and withdrawn. Gee, I don't know. I think that just sounds like normal Germans to me. The piece went on to say that despite the much-reported struggles of millennials and Gen Z, most member states showed that people aged between 16 and 29 showed higher life satisfaction compared to those above the age of 65. Well, that's because old people are grumpy, and the kids really like the EU. My bet's on the kids. Finally, when it comes to sex, there is very little difference to be found. Men got slightly less content between 2018 and 2022 than their female counterparts, but both sexes still average 7.1 points at the EU level. So apparently, folks in the EU are getting some. It's a pretty good place for sexual happiness. And really, isn't that what it's all about? And that's it for this week. Thanks for giving me some of your precious time. I'm Andy Valver, and this is The Continental Drift.